So this is my Mothering Sunday sermon. In a few moments, I'm going to ask Isabel to come up and read the scripture. And the scripture is integrated with the sermon this morning. So rather than reading the whole block of scripture right at the beginning, I'm going to integrate it with the scripture, with the sermon. Typically, I suppose I would read it with the sermon then. But seeing we do have scripture readers, and Isabel was on this morning as the scripture reader on the rota, she has agreed to reading the scripture at the relevant points in the sermon. I thought, well, it's actually a nice touch having a lady up here as well, seeing it's Mothering Sunday. So let's think of the many things mothers are. M is for the million things she gave me. O of mother means that she's growing old. T is the tears she shed for me. H is a heart of purest gold towards me. E is for her eyes shining with the light of love. R, she's right and she'll always be right. My mom tried that one on me when we were on holiday. She said, I'm still your mother. I said, I know, and I honor you, and I love you. She said, you still listen to me. I said, well, I'm almost 50. But I do honor you. Yes, Mom. There's a lot of wonderful mums here today. Mums in traditional families, mums in special circumstances, single mums, step mums, step-in mums. And you all deserve honor today. You deserve breakfast in bed. You deserve lunch in bed. You deserve all the good things. M is also for mixed feelings that Mother's Day brings. Some have recently lost a mum. Some mums are geographically thousands of miles away. Others have different, difficult circumstances. M is for the mothers, the many mothers that Mother's Day actually leaves out. Women who are not mothers by chance or by choice. And this morning in the Bible, we're going to be looking at a mother who was a mother, and you decide whether she was a mother by chance or by choice or indeed a combination. M is for many people who might like to send their mother something today, but aren't able to. And M is for the many things she does for us, as we so heard from Beth's talk today. Today we're going to draw our attention to a scripture, where there's a mother in the scripture. And you may look at it and say, well, she was a mother by chance, or she was a mother by choice. Or maybe both by chance and choice. Maybe by grand design. You decide. We're going to, in a moment, turn to the book of 2 Kings. Don't do that just yet. Chapter 4. And there's a big drama that plays out in 2 Kings chapter 4. And this whole drama centers around one woman. Not only the woman, but the woman in her faith. And the Bible calls her a prominent woman, which really means, when you translate it in today's speak, a great woman. And we're going to see the ways this woman was great. And if you're a man and you think, well, I feel left out, well, I think this is for everyone. Ways in which we all can be great in the eyes of the Lord, knowing that there is no greater than our Lord, our God. So there's this woman. But there are four other actors that play out in the narrative of the drama this morning. We have Elisha. You may have heard of him. He's a very well-known prophet in the scriptures. We have Gehazi. Probably never heard of him. Don't worry about it. He was Elisha's servant. And we'll see that Elisha put his servant to work in the drama as the narrative unfolds. There's the woman's husband. It's a good thing not to forget about the woman's husband. And then, of course, there's the woman's son. By chance or choice, again, you decide. But as I said, the central figure is this woman. And before we get to the scripture, 2 Kings says that she was a well-to-do woman, a prominent woman, which I've already pointed out to you, literally means great. Well, in those days, how could you be great? You could be great in a number of ways. You could be great in wealth. You could be great in influence. You could be great in character. And when you look at this woman in the Bible, we see that she was a prominent lady in her community. She was not totally wealthy. We could say she's somewhat wealthy. But she had incredible influence because of her godly character and her spiritual perception and discernment. And she was a great woman for a number of reasons, which you're going to look at this morning. But the main one, and there's only one you take home with you, it's the most important one. She was a great woman because of her faith. The Bible doesn't name her. She's a no-name woman. She's known as the Shunammite woman. That's it. We live in a world where people have names. Kate Moss. Michael Kors. Ted Baker. Ricky Gervais. Names. We like to wear, some like to wear name brands. If you're going out today, what shirt or blouse will you wear? Is it that one from the supermarket that advertises Every Little Helps and you got it for £1.50? Or is it the one with that special logo that says something about wealth? She wasn't like that. She was what you would call a no-name brand. You know, in our supermarkets here, you get the essential brand, and then you get like the brand. Back where I come from, they call those essential brands a no-name brand. Got no name. And this woman was a no-name brand. She didn't have an OBE. But she had faith. She had faith in the Lord. She wasn't from royal blood. Nothing indicates that she had high rank. Nothing indicates that she had any form of social status. She wasn't endowed with special knowledge or great skills. She wasn't strikingly beautiful like other biblical characters like Sarah or Bathsheba. She didn't save her people like Esther did, nor lead her people to God as the Samaritan woman at the well did. She wasn't a great judge like Deborah. And she didn't even have a child that became well known like Hannah and Samuel. So why was she great? Not in the eyes of the world. Not in how we were determined brothers, but for everything that the Lord looks at and looks for in a person. Isabel, will you come read the scripture to us this morning, please? We are in the book this morning of 2 Kings, chapter 4. It's on page 371 in your Pew Bible.
Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. So if you open your Bibles to 2 Kings 4 from chapter 8. Chapter 4, verse 8. So 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. And verse 8 says, "One day Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. She said to her husband, 'I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Let's make a small room on the roof and put in it a bed and a table, a chair and a lamp for him. Then he can stay there whenever he comes to us.'"
So the first thing that made her great is this. This Shunammite woman had a concern for the work of the Lord. If you're taking notes, Number one that made her great is she had a concern for the work of the Lord. But note, something us men like, she included her husband in the decision making. So she showed him the respect and the dignity and the authority and the leadership. She politely involved him in the matter. And probably left or let him think she was leaving the final decision up to him. And this beautifully illustrates the influence, aid, and support a godly wife can be to her husband in the work of the Lord. Personally speaking, I can't begin to remember how many times my lovely wife, Isabel, has shown discernment in areas that I just haven't thought about. Or had an eye for detail. She had an eye for detail. There's certain things she wanted in the room for this prophet to be able to relax and pray and study the word and have a place of his own. She put thought. Look at what it says. She put a bed and a table and a chair and a lamp for him. An eye for detail. And I know, as a guy, my wife has an eye for detail. When I don't have an eye for detail, we very often entertain, and we're always having people over for whatever at the manse. From a casual visit to a cup of tea and a slice of cake to a full-blown meal. And sometimes, I'll help out in tidying up beforehand. And a few days ago, Isabel said, make sure there's no crumbs on the dining room table. So, of course, I went with a cloth and I did my thing. And she walks in after being out and about and ministering to another lady in the church. She comes in. We're having people for lunch. And she says, did you clean the table? I said, yes, I did, of course. There's the cloth. There's the table. There's my hand. I did it. She said, but I can still see a few little microscopic crumbs. And then out comes the antibacterial. And the whole thing gets wiped down and cleaned. And a nice white tablecloth gets put on the table. And I... for detail. And this is what made the Shunammite woman great in the eyes of the Lord. She had an eye for detail when it came to the work of the Lord. She didn't just say, oh, he's a prophet. He can prophesy himself a chair and a bed into existence. She saw the practical need. We move on. Let's see what else made her great. And we're still in 2 Kings 4. We're going to camp there for today, verses 11 to 30.
So one day when Elisha came, he went up to his room and lay down there. He said to his servant Gehazi, call the Shunammite. So he called her, and she stood before him. Elisha said to him, tell her, you have gone to all this trouble for us. Now what can be done for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army? And she replied, I have a home among my own people.
This is something that's not to be overlooked. She was great in the eyes of the Lord because she was content. Yeah, Elisha was clearly saying, hey, look, lady, I know people in high places. What can I do for you? If you put someone up for the night and they said, I know people in high places, name it. What can we do for you? I wonder what you would say. I wonder what I would say. And we live in a society where we always want more and more and more and more. Don't we? But this lady was content. And it's very easy to miss this point. She's saying to Elisha, I appreciate your offer. But I've got a home. My needs, my basic needs are provided for. I don't need anything else. And actually, that's quite scriptural. If we look at the teaching of Paul, you'll remember Philippians 4, where he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, actually, the context of that, Paul was saying, he's had it all and he's had nothing. He can do everything. He can do it all through Christ who strengthens him. It's actually a message on contentment. How content are we? And the Lord thought the Shunammite woman was great because of her contentment. But perhaps the most important one is the third one, her faith. We are still in 2 Kings 4, and we're going to read from verses 4, chapter 4, 14 to 26.
What can be done for her? Elisha asked. Gehazi said, she has no son, and her husband is old. Then Elisha said, call her. So he called her, and she stood in the doorway. About this time next year, Elisha said, you will hold a son in your arms. No, my lord, she objected. Please, man of God, don't mislead your servant. But the woman became pregnant, and the next year, about the same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elisha had told her. The child grew, and one day he went out to his father, who was with the reapers. He said to his father, my head, my head. His father told a servant, carry him to his mother. After the servant had lifted him up and carried him to his mother, the boy sat on her lap until noon, and then he died. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, then shut the door and went out. She called her husband and said, please send me one of your servants and a donkey so I can go to the man of God quickly and return. Why go to him today? He asked. It's not the new moon or the Sabbath. That's all right, she said. She saddled the donkey and said to her servant, lead on, don't slow down for me unless I tell you. So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. When he saw her in the distance, the man of God said to his servant Gehazi, look, there's the Shunammite. Run to meet her and ask her, are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right? Everything is all right, she said. When she reached the man of God at the mountain, she took hold of his feet. Gehazi came over to push her away, but the man of God said, leave her alone. She is in bitter distress, but the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me why. Did I ask you for a son, my Lord? She said. Didn't I tell you, don't raise my hopes?
Yeah, we have this mother by chance or not by chance. I suppose the biggest nightmare and the biggest tragedy that can happen to any mother happened in the story. A prophet promised her a child. The very gift God had given was taken away. The child died sitting on her lap. What a tragedy. We had a little bit of an insight into this yesterday when we were talking about this.
Yes, as we were talking about this, it was the revelation that the Lord showed me how she held on to God's promise for her, that when she was given a son, and you know, sometimes God gives us promises, or in his word there are promises for us, and she never gave up on that promise. And sometimes I think as people we give up too quickly on the things that God has given us, or a promise that we feel the Lord has spoken to us. And we can learn something from this woman. What she did was she acted in faith. She never told anyone, not even her husband, that the son had died, because she was having faith, because she knew that if God gave her a promise, he wouldn't let her down. And even in her travels, she said to Gehazi, everything is all right, because she knew that if she'd spoken to the man of God with faith, she went there in faith. And that's the amazing thing about this woman, is that the level of her faith. She didn't act distressed to anyone else, only when she reached the man of God. And then she questions him and says, didn't I say, don't let me down? And it's like her saying to God, of course you wouldn't let me down.
It's awesome. Thank you, Isabel. It was quite a revelation as we were reading through the scriptures yesterday. I wonder where she got this faith from. We know that the New Testament in the book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And there's a clue in this scripture where she actually got her faith from. You see, her husband questioned her. Her husband questioned her about going to the man of God. Why did he question her? Because they had their specific days when they went to, yeah, the teaching of their scriptures and their teaching of their Jewish customs. And this didn't fall on one of those days. But still she says, it's all right. So the woman's husband was surprised that she wanted to go see a prophet because it didn't fall on one of those special days. And this actually was the key to the lady's faith during this terrible day, is that she had heard the scriptures. She had absorbed the word of God. And that's the key to our faith. Our faith isn't resting in faith. My faith is not in faith. We often say people have come to faith. No, we come to Jesus. Our faith is in Jesus. Our faith is in His Word. Our faith is in His character. He cannot fail. And although it looked like maybe the Lord had failed her at this point, God is a God who will never fail us. Sometimes something looks like it's over, but it's not over. Sometimes something looks like it's dead, but it's not dead. You may have a prophecy written out about yourself from many years ago, and the paper may have turned yellow, it's so old, and moths may have started climbing into it. But it's not over until Jesus says, it's over. And like we looked at last week, the good work He started in our lives, He will complete. He'll complete it when we meet Him, finally, one day, face to face. When asked by Gehazi about herself, what did she say? Everything is all right. Isn't that amazing? What do we do? Are you okay? No! And it's okay to be like that. I'm not condemning that. I'm not slating that. I'm not saying don't be like that. But she expressed what was going on in her life to the person who could help. And it's something we've been talking about. Often, we express our needs to people, but they can't help us. We just want to air our view. We just want to air our grievance. We just want to air our sorrow. We just want an audience. And let's build this audience. Look what I'm going through. She didn't build an audience to mourn with the loss of a child. She went to the man of God saying, I'm going to the source, to the one who holds the keys of life and death. And may we encourage you this morning to go to the source. Sometimes we moan and we complain and we gripe and we carry on, and nobody can do anything for us. And all we're doing is we're building up our audience. But we're not building an audience with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Was everything all right? We know by no means. She knew the boy was dead. She wasn't in denial. This son she didn't ask for, a son she had grown to love, her only son died on her lap. We can say he died in her arms. Were things all right in the Shunammite household? Naturally speaking, not at all. The boy was dead, and she knew it. She knew that she was about to ask the prophet to do something unprecedented, but she knew everything would be all right. I wonder if she knew the outcome. Maybe she didn't know the outcome. And I wonder sometimes when we take our requests to the Lord, we don't know the outcome. But still we can say, we trust the Lord. We have faith in Him. Everything's going to be all right. And again, let me remind you of the number one reason this unnamed woman was great in the eyes of the Lord. It was because of her faith. And may I go a step further and say, I believe it was as a result of her unshakable faith. Where do we put our faith in? And what do we put our faith in today? Do we put faith in our wealth, bank accounts, good, secure, stable jobs, family traditions, church traditions, positions at work, positions in society? But she had faith in God. And faith in God is the only thing that will get us through the darkest of nights. We're going to see what she had fourthly. And this is found in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4, verses 27 and 28.
Okay, when she reached the man of God at the mountain, she took hold of his feet. Gehazi came over to push her away, but the man of God said, "Leave her alone. She is in bitter distress. But the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me." "Did I ask you for a son, my Lord?" she said. "Didn't I tell you, don't raise my hopes?"
So she was great in the eyes of the Lord because she held on. And she pushed through. She pushed through Gehazi, who tried to stop her from coming to the man of God. And there's many things in our lives that try and stop us from taking our situations to the throne room of God. It could be our own unbelief. It could be a lack of self-confidence in ourselves. It could be a sense of shame. It could even be a sense of pride. No, I did this, so I need to sort it out. Many things that keep us away from God. But she held on. And I want to encourage you today to hold on to the Lord. This Shunammite woman was great in the eyes of the Lord because she held on to God. Have you ever known someone that when faced with a tragedy, prayed and prayed and prayed, and then when it didn't work out the way they wanted it to work out, they actually pushed God away? And they say, well, this whole God thing doesn't work for me. Blame God. It's all God's fault. It's always strange to me that even an atheist will blame something on God when something goes wrong. How about blaming the devil? I want to encourage us this morning that God hears every prayer of ours. And God answers our prayers. But that doesn't always mean we're going to love the answer. Sometimes we need to understand the answer. But it doesn't mean God's against us. And it doesn't mean that God is punishing us. God will always do what is for the greater purpose, for the greater good. God always has a bigger picture in mind. We've got to tell God, God, Lord, I will not leave you. We know that Scripture, New Testament Scripture, teaches us that the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. But how about us holding on to the Lord and not leaving the Lord like the Shunammite woman did? And we come to our last point this morning.
Verse 29, Elisha said to Gehazi, "Tuck your cloak into your belt, take my staff in your hand and run. Don't greet anyone you meet, and if anyone greets you, do not answer. Lay my staff on the boy's face." But the child's mother said, "As surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you." So he got up and followed her. Gehazi went on ahead and laid the staff on the boy's face. But there was no sound or response. So Gehazi went back to meet Elisha and told him, "The boy has not awakened." When Elisha reached the house, there was the boy lying dead on his couch. He went in, shut the door on the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. Then he got on the bed and lay on the boy, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands, and he stretched himself out on him. The boy's body grew warm. Elisha turned away and walked back and forth in the room, and then got on the bed and stretched out on him once more. The boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Elisha summoned Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite." And he said, and he did. He called the Shunammite. When she came, he said, "Take your son." She came in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. Then she took her son and went out.
So Elisha encountered the woman. Not the woman, the son. I beg your pardon. Elisha encountered the son. Mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands. And he breathed the life of God into the dead boy. And we still serve a God who breathes life into dead places in our lives. And this morning he wants to meet you. Jesus wants to meet you. Mouth to mouth. Maybe you need some mouth to mouth resuscitation this morning. Eyes to eyes. Maybe you need to see what Jesus sees in you. And hands to hands. Maybe you need to put your hands into the hands of the living God and trust Him. Which brings me to the fifth thing that made this woman great. She was great because she was thankful. And she carried on. She carried on. She took her son and she went out. I want to encourage you this morning. If we keep our eyes on Jesus, no matter our circumstances, there's light at the end of the tunnel. 1 Corinthians 15, 57 and 58. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Can we see that scripture from the New Testament in the life of the Shunammite woman? She stood firm. She let nothing move her. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Isn't that what she did? She prepared a special room, special objects for the man of God. Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So what do? When something appears dead, but it's not meant to be dead. I came across a story this week. It's a good sermon illustration. I'm not 100% sure of the historical validity of it. I've searched it out and I've spoken to a few people here and there. But it makes a great sermon illustration. And it's about Napoleon and the Battle of Waterloo. The English had arranged for signals to signal across the channel the result of the Battle of Waterloo. If Napoleon won, they would signal with 2 lights. One after the other. If Wellington won, they would signal with 3. All 3 after each other. 1, 2, 3. There are men stationed on both sides of the channel. One group on the shores of Europe to flash the lights, and the other on the shores of England to watch. As word came in. Finally, during the evening, the signals came. First, 1 light. Then, 2 lights, the second one. But before the 3rd could be given, you'll never guess what happened. The English weather kicked in, and the famous fog settled in. England thought at first that Wellington had been defeated. But the next day, the the truth of the matter was received. After daybreak, it was learned that Napoleon had been defeated. And there's sometimes you get to a place in our lives when one light has come, two lights has come, and we're waiting for the Lord to do that. And we think we're defeated. We think the Lord has forgotten us. Wait for the fog to clear. Receive the good news that He loves you. Don't even wait for the fog to clear, in fact. Because the light shines regardless of whether there's fog or not. He loves you regardless of what we go through. Our prayer this morning as we minister to you is that you'll not feel defeated. That you'll not feel that your prayers are unanswered. That you'll not feel that your work in life and your work for the Lord is unrewarded. But that you'd let the morning star, Jesus Christ, come right now and shine brightly in your light and in your life. It is then that the answers to our prayers will be seen and our work surely rewarded, but in a better time and in a better way, in God's time and in God's way. Let's then, as this great lady of faith did in 2 Kings chapter 4, the Shunammite woman, the no-name woman, let us keep on abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing, as Galatians 6 verse 9 says, that at the right time, in due season, you will reap a harvest. And as the book of James says in chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, be patient, therefore, until the coming of the Lord. Let us pray together.
Father, we just thank you for this word. Thank you for your word, Lord, that is not empty and it's not void. And thank you for your word and your promises that are yes and amen. I just want to pray, Lord, that every person here will get personal with you right now. And that your Holy Spirit will minister to them, Lord. Pray, Lord, that you would meet every person at their point of need. Every promise, Lord, that you have given everyone here this morning, Lord, things they're holding on to, Lord, you see their heart. Come, Holy Spirit, and give them the faith not to give up. If you wanted to give up, the Lord just says, hold on like the Shunammite woman. Hold on tight. Don't speak the words of the world over your situation or your circumstances, but speak the word of God over your situation. Your word says your promises are yes and amen. You're a God that does not lie, like you promised the Shunammite woman. She went up into the room where she had the promise first, and she went and put her dead boy back into that room, saying, God, I'm trusting you. You've promised me. I won't give up. So don't give up this morning. May your power, Lord, just come and touch lives here this morning. Father, you're the God that raises the dead. Come and raise up dead dreams, dead hopes, dead vision. Raise it up this morning, we pray. And bring your healing power. Bring your healing power and just come and transform us in the name of Jesus. Transform us into your likeness, Lord. And may we not be listening to the ways of the world. Let us turn to your word. The women of faith, Lord, let us be a people of faith. And speak your word out. Speak your word out to our family, to our friends, to dead circumstances. We'll speak your word out. We'll speak your word out over this church. Bring life here, life in abundance, and your healing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, every head is bowed and eyes closed on this Mothering Sunday. We just want to give you the opportunity. If you've drifted away from the Lord and you want to come home to Him today, or maybe you've never given your life to Jesus, why don't you come to the Lord this Mothering Sunday? Three things, A, B, C. A, admit that you're a sinner and you need Jesus. B, believe that Jesus loves you. C, confess that Jesus is Lord of your life. I'd like to lead you in a prayer that contains those, that A, B, C. So if you want to return to the Lord, or in fact give your life to Him for the first time, this isn't about joining a church. It's not about becoming religious, but it is about a personal relationship with the Lord. He's calling you today. Maybe your mother's been praying for you for a long time. Just pray this in your heart. I'm not going to embarrass you. I am going to ask you to put up your hand if you prayed that prayer at the end of the prayer, but all eyes will be closed. Let's pray. Say, dear Jesus, I admit that I need you, that I need you. I'm a sinner, and I need you to save me, and I need you to save me. I believe, you died on the cross to save me of my sin, to save me of my sin. And I believe that you rose from the dead. Today I confess Christ. Today I confess Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. As my personal Lord and Savior. I ask you into my life. I ask you into my life today and forevermore. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm a Christian. While every eye is closed and head is bowed, if you prayed that prayer, either for the first time or you've prayed it before, but you knew it was something, and you know it's something special this morning for you, just raise your hand very briefly and take it down again. Anybody like that here? You prayed that prayer. Just raise your hand briefly. Thank you for your word that's gone out this morning, Lord. We thank you that you love every single one of us. We thank you that you are calling us to be more and more like Jesus. And help us in our walk with you to be inspired